Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
My sincere apologies to James Waterhouse of the BBC. I was looking at an image of the White House on the television screens in front of me when I was signing off with him there. My apologies for that. So look, today we are continuing our series on scientific experiments, but not experiments conducted by PhD candidates in well-equipped laboratories. Instead, we are interested in how you and I might get to explain the world around us to ourselves by tinkering with a little bit of citizen science. Here to encourage listeners, young and old, to roll up their sleeves and try some at home is physicist and associate professor Shane Bergen from the School of Education in UCD. Hello, how are you?
Long
time
good.
No see.
Yes.
The root of all scientific experiment is curiosity, isn't it? Somebody somewhere saying to themselves, I wonder why that is the way that it is.
Yeah. Perhaps it's just an inherently human characteristic. We want to know about the world around us, and science is just one of many ways of knowing about the world around us. I don't think there's any human alive in the right circumstances who just doesn't become innately curious. And I think, well, maybe it's just me, that kind of happens a lot when other things go quiet. So when you have a bit of downtime, you're on your holidays, you're off school, you're off work, and your mind starts to drift. And it's great because you start looking at things and thinking about things and wondering. And science is just one way, as I said, of trying to know the world around you. But it's a pretty good one.
It's almost like rewinding to childhood and doing that. Daddy, why is the sky blue?
The classic.
I know. Not one that I ever successfully or convincingly answered myself.
It's a tough one to answer. But I think we often assume as we age that asking questions and being curious is something that's somehow annoying. But it is fundamentally human, and children are very, very hardwired to do this. I have a 5-year-old niece who every time I visit her has a list of questions that are prepared for me about like where the wind comes from was one of the recent ones.
So her parents are outsourcing to you.
Uncle Shane will answer.
Yeah. That's very clever of them. So how do you do?
Oh, well, goodness. So what I try to do is be the teacher, and instead of just telling her the answer, try and reason it out with her, which never goes down well. She just wants to know the answer. Right. But I do encourage people to try the thinking rather than the Googling. So if you are figuring out, say, a classic one, why do you wash the dishes with hot water? Why not use cold water? Right. Yeah. So it's just like something we all do, or at least should
you
do.
You can set up a control experiment for this one quite easily.
Yeah.
Can't you?
Just try it at home and think about it. Right. I could just tell you the answer and you'd be like, oh, that's interesting. And it is. But there's something particularly good about being curious, noticing things, coming up with suggested ideas for your reasoning, doing an experiment to figure it out, and then thinking about that.
And ending up with some clean plates by the end of it as well.
Hopefully.
And remembering, I suppose, along the way, particularly with kids, that you are the toy very often. It's not the experiment, it's how you engage with them and it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, often parents, indeed sometimes teachers, will say, goodness, if we go down this route, well, I need to know a lot more about this topic to satisfy the child. People will be worried about being exposed, about lack of knowledge. I would suggest that the most important thing is the process, is the activity, is the play. Do it with the child, not for the child. And don't be too worried about having all the answers yourself. It's fine.
You've been involved in the ESB Primary Science Blast, and the kids there have come up with some particularly brilliant questions to ask you in the past.
Oh, they have. They and their teachers every year in Limerick, Belfast, and indeed down the road in the RDS come up with the most amazing questions. Dubliners will be familiar with many of them on the side of the Dublin bus. For example, does the flavour of ice cream affect its melting time, right? Or another one that a child posed a few years ago.
Don't go on from that. Vanilla versus mint versus chocolate. Is there a difference?
I actually don't know. I'm not trying to come in and suggest everyone go out. Well, actually, I am. Go home and buy lots of ice cream and try it out, you know, and see. What do you think, Philip?
I think that I might just end up spending quite a bit of money on different ice creams.
But they come up with these questions, and the important thing is their way of figuring it out. So they try to do experiments that discern what factor is most important, and then figuring out how do they use data to understand the situation they're interested in.
Well, I love some of the other questions here. Can a magnet attract the iron in your breakfast cereal?
Isn't it brilliant? So there, like, I don't know about you, when I was a child, I used to sit trying to avoid talking to my brother with the cereal box in front of me in the morning, and I'd read and study the back of it with great detail. Maybe kids still do it.
Niacin, riboflavin percentages, I still remember to this day.
And iron, of course, is in there, and it's just genius for a child to think, well, magnets attract iron, maybe that a magnet would attract the iron out of the cereal. And I do know the answer to this one. In the right circumstances, you can take the iron out of the cereal and use a magnet to attract it. I've seen kids do it.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
We did the 5 second rule for dropped toast as an experiment to see if a piece of toast face down onto the floor would pick up a significant amount of germs in those 5 seconds, or how many more germs would be on it after 5 seconds.
And
guess what? The determining factor in all of this, you should not be surprised, Shane Bergen, to learn, is how dirty your floor is in the first place. 5 seconds has got nothing to do with it whatsoever.
It's one of those things, like the 10,000 steps a day, just kind of made up.
Yeah. What's the best way to drop an egg without breaking it?
Oh, yeah. So children, I've done this. I got UCD scientists to work with primary school kids to determine ways to drop eggs without breaking them. They built parachutes, they built soft landing pads, lots of different things, but they were looking for control factors. So the parachute one was one of the best. Build a parachute, put the egg into it, and launch the egg off out of the top window of your house and see what happens.
Well, I would imagine in every case it's going to end up smashing, but sideways on, it has to be more vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Than either big end or little end.
Yes, and the type of egg matters too. If you have chickens at home yourself, the eggs tend to have thinner shells than ones you buy in the shop. Mm-hmm. All of these things matter. You figure out stuff about the world.
Teenage listeners, do you treat them differently? Do you direct them towards a different kind of experimenting?
Yes. So young adults are perhaps the largest group in our society that do science on a day-to-day basis, because they all have to take it in school, right? And we could talk about the pluses and minuses of the curriculum, but there are huge opportunities for teenagers to do science in a genuine way. And I think that we are world leaders when it comes to this. The Young Scientist Exhibition and lots of other ones similar to it are perfect examples of how young adults can look at the world around them and develop questions and ways of figuring those questions out.
I think it's really important to say of the young scientist, you do not have to be a boffin. You don't have to be an A student in biology, physics or chemistry to consider entering.
Absolutely. You do not need to be Sheldon Cooper or Albert Einstein. The process here matters. I've been privileged to be a judge at it for the last couple of years, and I meet the most extraordinary young people who look at the world around them and try and figure it out. So, for example, twins whose parents ran a clothing shop were trying to get the parents to stop using detergents, heavy detergents for stains on the clothes. And they looked at more natural detergents for different types of stains. And they did lots of controlled experiments and figured things out, changed the way their parents do their business. And like, these were just two lovely twins from down the country somewhere. I can't remember their names or where they were from. But that experiment sat with me because I thought how clever it is of them to use science to figure something out in their immediate world and to be curious about it and to change something as a result.
And there are ways as well that young adults and older adults can now actually be of some practical help to scientists who are conducting and need to crowdsource their data retrieval from us. Give me some of your favourites.
Yeah, citizen science here. So one of the best ones is Birdwatch Ireland. Every winter, Birdwatch Ireland invite the public to count the different species and amount of each species in their gardens each week. My wife and I have been doing this since COVID started, and it's become something, a contentious topic, because I'm not allowed to write the figures in the sheet. Only she can do that, because seemingly I take liberties as doing it. But it's an example of citizen science. So Birdwatch Ireland use that data to understand populations of birds in different parts of the
The Royal Botanical Society does the same thing in Ireland and Britain as well.
Yeah, and it's super important because you start to see, say, the spread of species like the woodpecker, for example, which is moving east to west in Ireland. There's others. There's biodiversity surveys that go on. The Environmental Protection Agency are always looking for people to help. Indeed, Dunsink Observatory is looking for people to help with analysing and looking for data. And for people who just are curious, go out tonight and look up into the sky, because you would see you'll see meteor showers this time of year. They peak in early August from a comet called Swift Tuttle that's coming to the Earth, and you see this meteor shower. You may also tonight see the Aurora Borealis. Go outside and look up into the world. It's amazing. It's warm. Get a picnic blanket. Lie in the ground and look up.
There's another particularly nice one called Big River Watch, which encourages people to just take 15 minutes sitting by the bank of a river and note, yes, the sources of pollution in the river, but also what other bird and animal and fish and plant life there is there as well. It's very meditative, if nothing else.
And it's important for lots of reasons. And one of the most important things about citizen science is that you learn how science works, right? So you learn about process, and that helps you to understand and to establish the trustworthiness of science and scientific experts. So one of the most important things we can all do as adults is to be scientifically aware and literate, so that we can discern the information from the disinformation, the rubbish from the truth. And in a world that's completely bombarded with fake news and disinformation, I think being able to understand a little bit about how information is made in a scientific sense is incredibly important and essential for our democracy.
Dr. Shane Bergen, thank you as always. Enjoyed that. Let's take a break.
Text 51551. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.